I must have left my second pair of eyes at the house. I may blunder a little bit this morning as I read. I don't know. But pray for me if you would. Solomon in chapter 7 again this morning. And Lord willing, we'll be there again tonight if I don't cave in between now and then. I'm trying to hold out and hang on and endure. And I want to try to preach if God will help me. And you pray for me if you would. The Bible said in verse number 8 of Solomon chapter 7, I said I will go up to the palm tree. And somebody help me with this word. I was going to ask Miss Hall. I will take hold of the what? Boughs. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Is that right? All right. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's look to Him in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning. Thank You, Lord, for the good songs that we've enjoyed, the good Sunday school, the good fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for Your divine and holy presence. I pray that You'd help the preacher now in the next few moments, that I may glorify Christ to Thy people. I pray, Lord, that You'd open up our hearts to receive with all readiness of mind everything that God has in store for His people today. May our hearts be moved and stirred and drawn closer to Thee. And I pray that sinners, Lord, would come to know You. They'd be saved, delivered, set free, even as I've been, others in this building have been. I ask You, God, to give liberty and grant liberty and power and unction this morning to preach the Word of God. May Thy people be refreshed and revived and every need met, every heart touched. And we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Our Lord Jesus here speaking, and He said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. And I want to try to preach for just a little while this morning, if God will help me, on glory in the palm tree. Glory are the glories in the palm tree. If you remember now, in our previous verse of Scripture, the Lord likened the church there to a palm tree. Or I want to rephrase that maybe. He says that her stature is like a palm tree. I take this to mean that the church that He is referring to has fully matured. That it is a church that has completely grown. In fact, Paul said in Ephesians 4:13, he said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe as the Lord likens the church, the church's stature to that of a palm tree, he is implying that it is a church that has reached some sort of Christian maturity because of the height of the palm tree. And Christ says in our text that He's going up to the highest place in that palm tree. For He said He's going up and take hold of the boughs thereof. Now, if you know anything at all about a palm tree, it doesn't have any limbs along the bottom part of it. Only in the top does it have limbs or boughs or leaves, whatever you want to call those. It's there that that tree, by the way, produces figs, which is a fruit. But it is in the highest part that our Lord says that He is going to ascend up. Now, I want to say that when the church reaches that perfect state and Christ occupies such a lofty position that at that time He will come to be glorified in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, if there's one thing we're lacking today, church, it is a little bit of maturity and a little bit of knowledge along the line of bringing glory to Christ in our lives. If you read what I put in our bulletin this morning, old brother Jerry Clark at Tabernacle used to call me Old Glory. I'll never forget the night when I graduated. He said our next recipient of the theology degree is Old Glory. And boy, I'm telling you, he couldn't have fitted it any better. He said, Brother Gary Hall, and he said that because of my desire, friend, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in the life that I'm now living. I want to please Him. I want to glorify Him. And when we reach that matured state, the saints of God and the church will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 3:20 and 21, I've said this so many times, I've quoted this verse, I want to read it to you again this morning. Paul said, Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Now, that is unto the one that is able, church, to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church. By who? By Christ Jesus. That is that when Jesus occupies that lofty position in the house of God, that it will bring eternal glory to his heavenly Father. Amen to God. And he goes, and how long will that glory be? Paul went on to say, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I got to thinking about the glory in the palm tree. Brother, if Jesus Christ occupies that elevated place in the church, then there ought to be some sort of godly glory in the house of God. Now, hey, now come on now. I'm not talking about the PTL club, and I'm not talking about something the Bible doesn't teach. I'm talking about the glory of God in the church. And you know, some folks, they really, I think, misunderstand and misinterpret what we mean when we use the word glory. We think that it's some sort of a supernatural happening or some sort of overwhelming situation for God to descend, friend, in the house of God, that it's something that can be seen of God Himself in the church. But I want to say on the authority of the Word of God that it's not always God Himself, you see, that brings glory in the church, but it is the work that God is doing in the house of God. And Lord willing, tonight I'm going to preach on that thought. God's workings in the church. What He's doing in the church, how He's doing it in the church, and why He's doing it in the church. But I want to say that the purpose of the church is to evangelize the world, to make an earthly habitation for Christ, and to give eternal glory to God. And friend, if we're not doing that, then our God is certainly not being glorified in the church. But when Christ is given His rightful position in that lofty place, when He is the preeminent one, then He will, without a doubt, bring glory to God in the church house. Now, I want to say the problem today is that everything and everybody occupies that preeminent position besides God. We've let things occupy that preeminent place in the church. I'm telling you, we've let preachers occupy that preeminent place in the church. We have let deacons and Sunday school teachers occupy that lofty place in the church. But He said, I will. Son, He said, I will. Make no doubt about it. That is a declaration of His power when He said, I will go up to the palm tree and take hold of the boughs thereof. He said, I'm declaring that in my power. I have the power to do that. Hey, somebody said, preacher, where did He get that power? He bought us, friend. He purchased us with His own blood. We belong to Him this morning. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm His and He's mine. He owns me, and I want to glorify Him both in the life that I live and in death when that time rolls around also. Glory is in the palm tree. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a little glory around here. And it is not some mystical thing or some far-fetched a notion or some charismatic thought that they have come up with. Oh, no, you need to read the Bible, son, at how many times the word glory to God or glory or glorification or glorify is written down in the Bible. A number of times. Let me define that word glory. It means dignity. I think there will be a little dignity in the house of God. We're not a bunch of knotheads. No, sir, we're not a bunch of ignoramuses. We've got the best education in the world, son. I'm not talking about kit or kite or coat or KET or whatever they say about the Kentucky education process. If you ask me, it's the pits. I'm telling you, we have been educated, son. An education without God is not an education at all. It'll turn out a bunch of intellectual ignoramuses that will lead us deeper into depravity than what we already are. Oh, no, but I'm talking about dignity, son. In the house of God, it means honor. And certainly I want to honor God, don't you? I want to honor Him in every. I want to honor Him with my time. I want to honor Him with my tithes. I want to honor Him in the family, in the church, in my life, in my conduct, in my character. Everything about me, I want to honor God. Then I want to say that it means praise. I'll probably lose some of you right there. It does mean praise. Unto Him be dignity in the church. Unto Him be honor in the church. Unto Him be praise in the church. Worlds, ages without it. And Paul looked back and said, amen, I like what I just wrote. It means worship. I think you ought to be worshiped. Do you really think where there's no dignity, no honor, no praise, and no worship, that Christ is being glorified? You believe a dead, dry church gives Him praise? You think a lifeless church brings glory to God? I don't. I'm going to tell you, active as a beehive, friend. An active, vibrant, life-filled church will bring glory to His wonderful name. And He said, I'm going up into the palm tree. Into the top thereof, where the boughs are at. I'm going to take hold of those boughs. By my power, He said, I'm going to take hold of the church that I may accomplish the very will of God in the church that will bring glory to Him. When His will is accomplished, it will bring glory to God in the church. But there's one more meaning to that word that I want to bring out this morning. That word glory. That meaning is to be very apparent. That His glory should be very apparent. Amen. That it should be visible. Amen. That it should be visible not only with the eye of God, but with the eye of man. Amen. For, hey, we want the world around us to recognize the glory of God as it is manifest in His church. Amen. What are some things that should be very apparent around the house of God? You can look that up in your Strong's now. That's what it means. Very apparent. I mean, have you seen anything going on around here you think give Him glory? Come on now, children. What is very apparent at Island Ford Baptist Church that can be seen with our eyes that will cause you and I as His children to rise up as our children ought to and give praise to a virtuous mother and give praise and honor to our God? It ought to be very apparent. I want to say that there is glory in the palm tree when sinners are being delivered. I don't know anything else, my friend, that brings any more glory to God than when sinners are being saved by His wonderful grace. And don't give me that manure that He does not want people to be saved. I know better than that. For this very reason came I into the world and tasted death for every man, that sinners might be delivered from the bondage of sin that held them captive all their lifetime. Oh, yes. What greater honor, friend. He died to save sinners. He gave His life to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Do you realize that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents more than all godly men, 100 godly men that would repent over 100 righteous? Oh, yes, sir. I do believe that the saints on the hills of glory and the angels with them, and even the Lord Jesus, my friend, every time an old sinner bows his knee in the house of God and gets saved by the good grace of God, I'm confident that it glorifies a God in their presence, and it brings glory in the church, my friend, of the living God. I know that's right. Let me read you some scripture. John 17, 1 through 5. Our Lord in His intercessory prayer. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son. May I say, where is He going to glorify? Now get this now, I mentioned this yesterday. I believe that He glorified Him in the conception. When Mary was overshadowed by the power of the high, I believe it brought glory to His wonderful name. I believe He was glorified in the crib, Son, when the shepherds came and the angels began to praise God. Glory to God in the highest, they said. And He was praised while He was in the crib. I believe He was praised while He was on the cross, my friend. Oh, yes, when the sun became, when the sun was hidden and the sky was dark, there's no doubt about it that the angels in heaven was a glorifying God and a praising God because His Son was fulfilling the will of God upon the earth on Calvary. I believe He was glorified at the crypt when the sun come up out of the tomb. And I believe, hey, and what makes us think that He ought not to be glorified? Hey! In the church of the living God. Now I'm not talking about that and you can't find. Look around these four walls and you'll find what I'm talking about the church this morning. This local, visible body of believers. I'm talking about that invisible mess you ain't never found. Huh? He said, Father, glorify Thy Son. You know, I was going to glorify Him on the cross. That Thy Son also may glorify Thee as Thou hast given Him power. Listen to this. Over all flesh. Now, son, don't you think that God's not a sovereign God and in control of what we're going through today? He's a sovereign God. Jesus Christ has been given all power, both in heaven and in earth, and God has given Him power over all flesh. That He should give eternal life. This is going to hurt up some of you. To as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal. That they might know the only true God. Son, there's eternal life. Knowing God Almighty. Not Allah. Not Mohammed. Not Buddha. But God Almighty, son. And Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Jesus said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about, hey, glorifying Him in the church. When sinners are being saved. Somebody said, preacher, how does that do that? It accomplishes His purpose. Don't you think it glorifies God when His Son accomplishes His purpose? For this reason, He said, I come into the world. For that very purpose came I into the world. And son, every time a sinner is saved, the will of God, the purpose of God is accomplished in the house of God. And it brings glory there in the palm tree. Son, no, Lord, help. No more glory can be imagined than taking an old depraved, dead in their sin, sinner, my friend, that is wicked in his nature, ungodly in his heart, dead in his trespasses, and revitalizing him with the glorious life of Almighty God and birthing him into the family of God. What a transformation. What a transformation. It accomplishes God's purpose upon this earth. Amen. I believe that when old Brother Paul said, I've kept the faith, I finished the course. I believe that glorified God. He accomplished the purpose of God in his life, and so it accomplishes his purpose. It gives eternal life. I believe also he is admired by his people. You know what it means to be, admired? Come on in the house. You all ain't going to let me preach too hard, so I'm just going to talk to you a thing. Talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, about him coming and being admired in his saints. Do you know that he admires us? And that we admire him? I know about glory in the church. Hey, you remember that night that old Ricky Vincent bowed over here on his knees for about 45 minutes and got up a shouting of victory? Y'all do remember? Remember that night that Lisa Bell kneeled down here between these pews and the two old orange pews and gave God her heart? Amen. Are you listening to me now? Amen. And she came up and said that I've just been saved by the grace of God, play acting. Amen. You know what the saints of God done? They didn't say, oh, praise Lisa. No, sir, son. They said, oh, praise God. Amen. And look here, Miss Hall, you stand right up here a minute. Well, come on up here. I'm going to try to help this crowd this morning. Praise God. They've about as much life in them as everybody got to screaming memes this morning. Come over here. I'm going to show this crowd how to admire. Now, you got to pretend like she is the Lord Jesus. But here's the way I do her. Boy, I looked at her this morning. I didn't really tell her, but I said, praise God, you got on a green suit, and I got on a green suit. I said, you got your hair fixed all nice. I'm admiring you. I got on a pretty little piece of jewelry there, and she's dressed right. She got everything in order, and I thought to myself, I said in my heart, how beautiful she really is. I could just admire her beauty, admire her love, admire her grace that she has. Thank you, sweetheart. But do you realize that when an old saint, an old sinner is saved by the grace of God, do you know what the saints do? They stand back and they look at Jesus and say, my. Oh, what grace he has. Enough grace to transform a sinner. Oh, what power. I want to admire his power. He's got enough power to take an old dead sinner and revitalize him and give him life down in his spirit. Oh, and we begin to admire him. No wonder there's glory in the palm tree when a sinner is saved. Friend, it accomplishes God's purpose, and the saints admire his beauty, his glory, and his power. That's right. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, it affirms his mighty power. Hallelujah. But secondly, not only is there glory in the palm tree when sinners are being delivered, but there's glory in the church when saints are working together. Friend, I'm going to tell you, it don't bring a bit of laziness, don't bring an ounce of glory to God. He'll never be glorified in a lazy church. A working church. He said, hitherto I work and my Father works. He is glorified when we're working, and not only working, but when we are working together in the house of God. I'll say this right now. I ain't even going to read my text right now. Some of you lazy men here ain't mopped that floor back there. You ain't never picked up a broom or a mop. Go ahead. Somebody said, I ain't going to. I know it. You're sorry. Now you wouldn't. I tried to get you, lift you up and help you. Now I'm just going to bust you stinking high. Now I wouldn't be at all surprised. Some of you didn't gripe and bellyache because your wife tried to do a little something. I got a lot of work to do around the house, don't we all? Come on, hey, I'm working when saints are working. First Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Hebrews 6, 10, to God, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I'm going to tell you something. We don't have camp meetings just for a show. We have camp meetings to promote Christ and try to get something in our hearts to overcome sin in our lives and walk pleasing to God and glorify Him in this church. Huh? That is right. I won't say there's some things that will hinder our work. Huh? Son, I'm telling you, hey, they work. Listen to what it says when Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem and began to rebuild that wall. The Bible said in Nehemiah 4, 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I'm telling you, it ain't sitting well with some of the brethren. I'm going to say that right now. I know day while it ain't sitting too well with the brethren, because some of the brethren's wives put the brethren to shame in this last camp meeting we had. Come on, the house, men. Nehemiah said they built the wall because they had a mind to work. And there'll never be a wall built here unless we have a mind to work. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with good, honest, hard work. Especially work around the house of God. It does glorify our Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Adversaries will hinder the work. Huh? They come a couple of fellows riding in named Sanballat and Tobias and Nehemiah and said, look at that. What do these feeble Jews? They're going to rebuild the wall. They're going to worship God. Said if a fox went up across what they're doing, it'd fall down. I'm going to tell you, fellas, there's some things that hinder our work in the house of God. Ladies, too. May I say that laziness will. And I don't really think that is our problem. Our men work hard on public jobs. Some of them do. And the rest is going to have to shortly. I don't think men are lazy. No. But I'm going to tell you what those adversaries are. Our own will. Our own want-tos. Our own desires. Not just laying aside time and not a mind to. You know, they didn't just get up one morning and say, well, you know, I could go out there and help Nehemiah build a wall. If nothing else comes up, I'll go build that wall. Them men got out of bed and said, I don't give a flip. Now, honey, what comes up today ain't no honeydews today. It's God do's. It's a mindset. He said they had a mind to do it when they rolled out of bed. They said there's work to do at the house of God, and I'm going to work, and I'm here to tell you that working together in the church will glorify God in that church. Amen. That's right, cutting grass. Is important. Raking these leaves is important around the house of God. That is right. Keeping the building clean. Some of you look kind of strange. There's more to do around the church than get a message together and try to preach. Come to church two or three times a week and listen to the preacher. That's right. Now, and I'm going to tell you what those adversaries, what they'll do. Some of them, you'll be ridiculed. Well, what are you? All you want to do is, why don't you let somebody else do it? Well, all you want to do is lay around over at the church and do things over there. What better desire should we have? I understand we have to work on our jobs. We have to provide a living for our families. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just lazying around being couch potatoes, buddy. You know what this body wanted to do this morning? Lay back down in that bed, or maybe put it like this. Move the bedroom into the other room. Miss Hall said, what are you going to do? I said, preach! Son, I got a mind to do something at the house of God. I'm going to preach and work for God today. Son, hey. Somebody said, I'm not getting much money out of it. Well, think of the retirement benefits. What a retirement package it has, my friend. It may not be much pay now, but all the retirement benefits are out of this world. Are y'all listening? I believe you're listening pretty good. But I'm going to tell you, folks will ridicule you. Well, you're a Hallite. He's a church nut. Amen. He thinks you ought to spend all your time around the church. Amen.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you, you'll get more from God out of coming and working around the church, son, than you will laying around out in your shop.
Amen.
Playing little games or down off in a field hunting deer.
Amen.
Fishing, digging ginseng, riding horses. They'll discourage you. They did Nehemiah.
Amen.
They'll try to anger you. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I have seen folks that will hinder the work of God by trying to anger those that are doing it. Why do you want to spend all your time down there at the church? Well, bless God. I done it. You know what Nehemiah's men did with one hand? Brother Steve mentioned this the other day. He had no idea. But I was preaching there. But he said, preacher, them folks in Nehemiah said they put one hand on the sword and the other hand on the working tool. With one hand on the sword and on a weapon and the other hand they worked. Now I'm going to tell you that's what God's called us to do. Fight and work! Toil and labor, stand and move for God that it may glorify God in the church house. I won't say that there's adversaries that will hinder the work. Listen carefully, apathy will halt the work. Oh, I'm just kind of tired of church these days. A year ago, some of you that wasn't at Brother Steve's yesterday would have been there. 1 year ago.
Amen.
You don't have to go over there. It's just a meeting. You don't have to. But a year ago, you'd have been there.
Right. Amen.
You see, preachers look at stuff like that. And what that tells me is that there's a little sense of apathy there, a little complacency, a little laid back, a little self-satisfied, a little bit just don't really care. Are you following me, church? Look here, what if we all got laid back? I first moved to Tucson, Arizona. A man out there said, I'm going to tell you something. I'd never heard the term in my life before, Brother Ricky. Fell out there, Brother Dean North said, you're going to find that people out here move out here from back east, and said they move out here and they're all laid back. I didn't want them to think I was stupid. I said to myself, what's he mean laid back? I learned, Miss Patty, what he's talking about laid back is that they just sit down, you know. One preacher said that when they fly out there, said that white stuff on the Rocky Mountains is not snow. Said it's their church letters they dropped out of the windows of the airplane on the way out. Said they ain't going to do nothing.
Amen.
And we ain't shouting and running to them, but I'm telling you better get a hold of what I'm telling you. Hey, he's going to climb the palm tree. And he's getting up in the top of it for one reason, church, and that is to glorify his Father in that church. Have you ever considered that maybe some of the handicaps that we're having in the church is just because we are so stinking totally laid back on God. I thought about organizing a visitation day on Saturday just to see if anybody would show up. Are you listening? Laid back. Take it or leave it. Laid back. That apathy will halt to work. But I'm going to tell you something. Action, buddy. Putting ourselves in motion will help the work of God. Thirdly, and I've got to hurry because it's kind of difficult. It ain't hard preaching. They just, you know, y'all, we just, it's about 150 degrees in here. I want to say thirdly, something very apparent, which is glory to Him, is when sin is departed from. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I'm trying to. I said it's when sin is departed from. Notice what Paul said. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what, Brother Hall? Depart from iniquity. You know what that word depart means? It means to desert, to instigate, to revolt. It means to turn from one to another. It literally means to revolt. It means to take your allegiance from one side to another side. And I want to say on spirit, hey, we're not the Taliban. They can pledge their allegiance to the Taliban today and defect tomorrow and join the Northern Alliance and a week later be back with the Taliban. That's not, oh no, that's not real revolt. When we revolt against sin, we turn our back to that sin, never to dabble with that sin again. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a problem I've got with people that kick the television out of their house and 6 months later, 7 months later, a year later, 2 years later, they got the stinking egg-sucking thing drug right back in the house of Washington. They never revolted. They never departed. That sin was yet in their heart. They've never gotten that sin out of their heart, friend. Now, I know some preachers that have offended brethren of this church because of that very sin.
Amen.
Get up and preach against it. And later down the road, bring it right back into the house.
That's right.
Now, and I'm not being ugly when I say this, but I'm telling you, and I love Brother Herbert, but Norma, that's one thing that hurt Brother Herbert at Sturgis. He preached against the TV, put the TV out of his house, had him to bring it in. When Roger Williams in that meeting, they lined televisions up against the wall. They lined them up against the wall. They took them out, set them on fire, and burned them. And just about 3 years later, he walked into my office back there and told me he's having Cecil Newton in for a revival. And he said, now, Brother Cecil, don't stand where we stand. But say, he goes out, soul winning, knocking on the door, and I think it'd help the church. Well, Cecil's got two television sets.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And they called me and want to know why none of our people have been over in that meeting. I said, number one, the man you're preaching for, Cecil, told me he didn't believe in revival. You're trying to have revival. He said they can't have it. And number two, he won't let a man sing in his choir because he's got a television set in his house. And he'll bring you in and stand you behind the pulpit, send out questionnaires all over the country. Does your wife wear Bermuda shorts? Do you wear a culotte? Do you have a television? Do you have any of these things? I can't support you. Turn around and give a man a $500, $600 love offering that's got a television set in his house. Come on now.
Well, you're right. Amen.
I'm talking about departing from it, friend. I'm talking about revolting. Distancing yourself from that sin. I don't know how many folks heard this at the meeting yesterday. I heard one of the preachers at the meeting say yesterday, he didn't say it in these words, but I got the drift that he had heard out of this church that I had said some things about him. Wonder where he heard it from. If he come out of this church and I said it over the air. And if I said it, I'm not guilty of it. The person that carried it to him is the one guilty of it.
That's the gossip.
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that. I didn't start yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening? Hey, when we depart from sin, listen carefully. It makes the lot holy. The whole church, when we depart from sin, it'll make the life of the church holy, and holiness glorifies our God. It makes living heavenly. Woo! Nothing no more heavenly than living free from the burden and the load of sin. It'll make our love healthy, both in the home and in the heart. Son, you get sin out of your home, that's the problem in the homes in this church. Somebody is in sin in the majority of the homes in our church. I love y'all, and I've been here long enough. I think you know I love you. But I could go to some of you right now and lay my hand on you that your homes are a mess.
Go ahead now.
And it's because that there's a sin there. Just like Gary Wayne said at Sunday school, that somebody will not turn loose of. They will not depart from it. Baby. It has become a Pharaoh to them, and they are not going to let it go. Are you listening to me? And it's a battle. You better wake up. It's not a battle of do I love him and does he love me? Yes, you do love each other, but there is a Pharaoh that stands between you, friends. Get that sin out of your home. How many of you coming from over to the meeting yesterday, heard Brother Roloff? How many of you heard Brother Roloff last night? You hear what he said about preachers? You ain't even got any right to preach if you've got a television set in your house.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Boy, I didn't say that, Brother Lester Roloff said that, and he said that probably a good 20 years ago.
Right.
Amen.
And talked about how ungodly things was on the television then. Can you imagine what he'd think now? We need to revolt against that one-eyed devil. Pick that egg, sucking thing up, and throw it out of your house. The testimony of Brother Ricky ought to be convincing enough, my friend, for no other reason to get it out of your home. TV was his way of getting his God into his house. What do you think they wanted to? Northern Alliance wanted to take Mizar, Mizar, Sharif, or whatever it is. They said it would cut off the supply line for the Taliban. You cut off the devil's supply line. I'm going to tell you something else Lester said years ago. He said there's three cesspools in America, NBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, and CBS, three septic tanks. Now they got Foxy Mama. And whatever the idiot's name is down in Atlanta, Georgia. And they got cable. I saw one the other day, I am not lying to you, said hook up to our cable and get 250 stations. I just might as well get on that a little bit. I feel a little leadership of God. I'm going to tell you something else. I would not let my children's eyeballs look at that filthy mess.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, preacher, don't want to make nobody mad. I'm going to tell you what my son-in-law, not this one, but I'm on him too, I guess. But it's hard for him to get done with them way down there and him up here. But I'm going to tell you what old Brother Steve done. Mom and Daddy said, want y'all to come over and eat Christmas dinner? And said, Mom, as long as y'all keep the television in that room and the kids stay in this room, we'll come. If you bring them in that room, we're gone.
Amen.
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 Idiot, you might as well say amen. I'm going to tell you, if the little foxes that's in this church today, if we would depart from that sin, it would glorify God in our life. And some of you are still bent on a little 3-inch white thing called a cigarette that you cannot get victory over. I'm talking about departing from sin. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from all iniquity. Revolt against it. Rebel against it. Distance yourself from it. Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Amen. Make the lump holy and life heavenly. Love healthy. Amen. Well, I still got a little while. I said, get off of that. I will when the Holy Ghost tells me to. What about departing from that old bitter anger, thought, and attitude, and jealousy, and animosity, and all that mess? Huh? Hallelujah to God. We're like Uncle Joe today. We're moving kind of slow down to the junction. We're doing all right, though, ain't we? I believe there's some smoke going in the right groundhog hole today. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot be wrong with your brother or sister in Christ. I don't care who it is, me, you, or anybody else, and be right with God. Can't be. And I'm going to tell you, if preaching against sin makes you mad and offends you, you got a real problem somewhere else, friend. For great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've got a God that hates sin in the smallest degree. I said the very smallest. It ain't time to go home yet, young lady. Time for you to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I want to see God glorified in this church. Sinners being saved. Saints departing from their iniquity. Oh, I want to see God honored and glorified. Let Him climb the palm tree and take hold of the boughs thereof and glorify God the Father.
Amen.
Amen. And it'll either kill me, bless God, or you won't. He is the Holy God. Be ye holy, for I'm holy.
How's it going the other day to, where was it? See the doc. Had that radio on, and a fella come on there, and he said, brethren, God's greatest, I mean, he was a theologian, buddy. I learned later, I think it was Charles Stanley. But he made one statement, buddy. He said, you'll find the truth running throughout the Word of God that the greatest attribute of God in all the Bible is His holiness. He is holy. And sin defiles it, neighbor. You, hey, better read your Bible. Ain't nothing that defileth going to enter in. To heaven. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. You realize what we sung this morning, that song? He's sifting out the hearts of men. Now, what's that next word say?
Before the judgment
seat. In other words, he's trying to get you ready now, Robert, for the judgment seat.
Amen.
And some, the more you deal with now, the less you've got to deal with then.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be terrible to be left standing in the ashes at the judgment seat? Have to give a God answer to God for so much stuff at the judgment seat. May God help us. Come on in the house.
Yeah.
I want to say the fourth thing that will bring glory in the palm tree is when we're sending out light and truth.
Yeah.
God help us to get behind WSOF and the ministries of this church that we might send out the Word of God.
Amen.
Whoa. Oh, he said, and I'm not saying that. The Bible said, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles. You know what? Hey, let them bring me to the cross and let them lead me to God's dwelling place. Oh, I'm telling you, there is a dwelling place. Hallelujah, Brother Doug. There is a dwelling place, son. There is a tabernacle yonder. Woo! For they that dwell,
hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
I want to be in His presence.
Yeah.
They that dwell, read over, find Psalm 90 for me. You're God and I am absolutely on fire. I must be having a hot flash. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Send out thy light and thy truth. Why? Let him bring me to Calvary. Let him bring sinners to the cross. Send out light, son. Send a beam across the way. I've told you this story before. Some of them may never heard it. My daddy come a stumbling in our little old house down there one night, and he said, "Come on, boys. Come on, boys." He said, I got three coons up the same tree. My brother said, "Daddy," he said, "Oh, I'm serious. You've been taught in a little bit, you know." Well, when I was just a little bitty boy. And Randall said, "Well, let's go." And Randall said, "How are we going to find a place?" And Daddy said, "I'm telling you, I hung a lantern up in the tree." So, buddy, we headed out Paul's old place, up Grider's old place, and Paul's old place, and got out there on a little knoll. Daddy said, "Look down there, boys." And sure enough, looked way down through them woods, and there hung a little old lantern burning up in a tree. Somebody said, "How'd you get to that tree?" Followed the light. Followed the light. Send out thy light and thy truth. Son, follow the light. It'll lead you to Calvary. It'll lead you to the tabernacle of God, God's dwelling place. It'll lead you to the secret place of the Almighty. It'll lead you to the holy place of God. I want to say this to you that may not know it. Living behind the veil is not just for prayer, buddy. It is a life to be lived in the presence of God 24/7. I know the natives getting a little restless, but we'll be all right. Huh? Sending out light and truth. God's commandment is obeyed. God's commission is fulfilled. The cross is magnified. Hallelujah. Send her out. It glorifies the Lord Jesus. And I want to say the last thing that will bring glory in the palm tree is when the Savior is being adored. Did we really adore Him this morning? I wish I could sing like Ray Hart. Oh, how I love Him. Oh, how I adore Him. He is my Savior, my all in all. So I know it ain't very pretty, but buddy, it's pretty in heaven, praise God. I want to adore Him. Why, old Brother Guy Griffin say, worship Him! Ain't that wonderful? Glory in that palm tree, friend.
Amen.
In the church. Do you want it here? We can.
Amen.
Sinners will get delivered. Saints will get to working.
Amen.
Sin departed from. Send out light and truth. And adore the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. The glory be unto Him in the church.
Amen.
In the church.
Amen.
Let's stand together.